Welcome back to the Mount Goatmore Cliff Dive Podcast. All you Bills, Phils, Nannies, and Does out there, thank you for coming back. We are back at it again, just like last week, just like the week before. Rewind this for an entire year, just like every week since we've started, trying to figure out what it means to be the GOAT, the greatest of all time. We're here at the top of the peak, me, Cam, LaRon. Looking at goats again. You guys, how you doing this week?
Man, feeling bad for my friend. Just lost a very important match with some actual live creatures that we have here that are kept in balls that we fight with. It's okay. It's all right. There's nothing. They like it. They don't mind doing it. But he lost his battle. And, you know, they're hurting. They're in their ball. They're not in great shape right now. But we'll get to the Pokemon Center later.
For you, Bills, Phils, Nannies, and Does, we record two at a time because that's how we like to do it for you every weekend. And I had a quick match, Pokemon Draft League, for all my fans out there that I had to do. And I just got waxed. So, but I promise my energy will not be low because I'm happy because I have my friends here and I'm feeling good and ready to talk about greatness.
My energy will be low. So one of us has to.
We'll take a moment of silence for LaRon's Pokemon. All right, Cam, what are we doing this week?
Well, video games. Well, you know, Pokemon were originally a video game. They weren't these real creatures we have here with us. And we're talking about video game consoles, which for, I'd say, the majority of gamers, or I don't have the statistics on that, but a lot of gamers experience games primarily through the video game console. Probably the majority is phones at this point, but the console is very important to the growth of the video game industry and making it really approachable to people at their homes as like a home entertainment system. And so we're picking the greatest from among them.
One quick sidebar, I didn't count PC. I was thinking that you guys didn't count PC either. Are you counting PC as consoles?
No, I'm specifically not counting PC.
Yeah, same. I didn't have any. The only PC game I've ever played is Oregon Trail. So,
well, PC players can play any game. It just kind of gets like too big. So for all you PC Master Racers, sorry about it, but we are sticking to consoles that have been sold, that you buy, that you, I guess you anymore, you don't have to put a cartridge or a disc in. Now they're digital, but yeah, we are not counting PCs on this list.
Yeah, I'm excited to do this list. I'm just going to tell you all straight up, all of my picks are nostalgia. These are the game consoles that matter to me, that I think are the greatest because of my experience. I think that we always try to weigh topics of greatness with, you know, we think they're the best. They're our favorites and they're also the best. And sometimes, you know, we try to be unbiased and say, you know what, I like this one a little better, but if we're just talking about greatness, this one rises a little above my favorite. This one, completely subjective. I don't care about the coolest technology that they have on the newer games or whatnot. I only care about my experience and what made a console great for me.
Yeah, nostalgia played in it a lot for me as well. And also, you have to admit, preference plays into this a lot as well, because we are going to kind of get into the console battles, right? The console wars. So that will weigh my decisions, but I tried to be opposite and stay as neutral as I could. But it was really hard to put nostalgia to the side on this.
Yeah, it wasn't for me. I did not go for my favorite consoles. I tried to be as objective as possible. So
I'm glad that people are getting all perspectives.
Yeah, I think that we've got the whole array covered.
Yeah. So let's get it going. I do have two lists today. I'll decide whether I do both or not. Starting with Esquire's, the 13 best video game consoles of all time, ranked. And, you know, I could do all 13. That's only three more than 10, but I'm not. I'm just going to do 10, just to be petty. Number 10, the Nintendo Wii, released in 2006. Number 9, the Sega Genesis, released in 1989. And number 8, the Xbox released in 2001.
Sega.
First Xbox?
The first Xbox with a big, bulky black controller.
With only one stick on it, right?
No, it had both. It had two.
That's a joke. That was satire.
We'll move on. Number seven, the original PlayStation. Number six, the Super Nintendo. Number five, the PlayStation 4.
Interesting.
Oh, the PlayStation 4 at number five. Nice.
Yeah, that's high.
Yeah. So that, I mean, obviously two PlayStations are going to be top five. Are we going to have that on our list? Or are we going to have multiple? Oh, that's interesting. I didn't think of that.
I think it's hard. There's no way that you could. I mean, you could do it with just one from one company, but I don't think it really does justice to the different systems.
So I don't think that we'll end up having that unless LeBron does. But yeah, that's interesting. Two PlayStations in the top five. Nintendo honestly would have a better chance of doing that on my list than PlayStation.
Nintendo does it in most lists, I'd say. Most of the lists I found have at least two Nintendo ones in the top five.
Nintendo has so many consoles, though.
I mean, they started a little earlier than PlayStation, but they only have two more than PlayStation does.
Why do I feel like they have like 15?
Yes, the NES, if you're counting handhelds, but still.
Oh, that, I am counting handhelds.
PlayStation has two handhelds, so it's probably just, depending on how you're categorizing the Nintendo handhelds, they might have, if you're categorizing like the Advanced and the SD as two different consoles, which I don't. They have the same.
Well, software. Color and Advanced are two different consoles for sure, though, right?
Yeah, the Game Boy, it would be the Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, Nintendo DS, and then the 3DS. Those are the basic ones to me. Like the DSi is a better version of the DS, but it still only plays DS games.
Yeah, continue, my friend. Unless Laurent wants to add to that.
No.
Right, well, number four is the Nintendo Switch. Number three is the NES, so the Nintendo Entertainment System, or the Famicom in Japan. Number two is
the NES.
Yeah.
That's like the first real like gaming system.
So is it like the one before the Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where you had to lift the flap to put it in.
And right? The square controller?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then number two is the PlayStation 2, and number one is the Nintendo 64.
Nice.
I personally don't see the Nintendo 64 as one.
I thought PS2 is going to be one. That's a tough case, I think.
I didn't realize how badly the PlayStation beat the brakes off of the Nintendo 64 in sales.
I know that's what I was saying, is that PlayStation kind of rules over it in almost every category. I think
there's a lot of classic Nintendo 64 games for sure. I'd say they're maybe a little better for me 64 on games, but the controller is putrid. It's one of the worst controllers ever, even though the joystick itself is pretty important as a revolutionary thing for games. I just don't, going back to play the games, I can't. And I grew up on it, so. But a lot of those games, the remasters of those Nintendo 64 games, they hold up pretty well, just the game design.
They do. Yeah, and that's always been Nintendo's biggest calling card, is that it doesn't actually need really good graphics, you know? It's so cartoony, and like the art style of it lends itself to the older games kind of holding up better than some of these, like Grand Theft Auto. Obviously, as the graphics update, those games get...
Yeah, the more realistic you try for before realism is really possible, the worse it's going to look in the future. Yeah. By a game like Wind Waker, Zelda... looks fantastic still today on the GameCube. Maybe not fantastic, but it's very playable. But the difference, I feel like both of you may pick the 64, so I'm going to get this out of the way. The difference in sales between the 64 and the PlayStation is so absurd. 64 sold 32.93 million copies. The PlayStation sold 102.49.
Good gosh.
That's a $70 million console difference. Man. That's huge.
And the PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
The PlayStation 2 is the highest selling console of all time, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know how that's a really nostalgic pick, I think, to put the 64 over PS2.
No other list had the 64 that high that I looked up, if that means anything. I do have another list. I'll go ahead and read it off real quick. It's Watch Mojo's top 20 greatest console of all time. They have PS4 at 10, 64 at 9, Sega Genesis at 8, the original PlayStation at 7, the Switch at 6, Xbox 360 at 5, Nintendo DS at 4, Super Nintendo at 3, PS2 at 2, and the Nintendo Entertainment System at 1.
PS2 got second place again.
It was second at worst in every list.
NES is groundbreaking. Yeah, I think we can get into our list. I don't want to give away too much of like my talking points for this one. The top seem pretty similar. I've got some lower ones that I'm going to bring up for other reasons.
Well, then I'll start this thing out because one of my picks is a system I never owned. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized, well, I guess it has to be on there. It is the Xbox 360. Never owned it, never wanted to own it, but I can't deny its greatness. When you think about how people game today, everything that the Xbox 360 started with Xbox Live basically dictates how we buy games on the console stores. Online is like not just a thing you can do, but the thing you do that sets gaming apart. And things as simple as the controller. The 360 controller is like pretty perfect. And I tried to deny it for years, but when I played Call of Duty 4 back in the day, I would play it and I was pretty good on PlayStation 2. And then I'd get on the Xbox and just be whooping people because the controller was just so much smoother. And it was also the first system to ever come out with a wireless controller included with it, which is one of those things that we take for granted today. The first wireless controller was actually the WaveBird from Nintendo, but you had to buy it separate from the GameCube system. And so the Xbox included that. It included a pretty easy way to do online, even though you had to pay. You didn't have to pay to play online on the Wii back then, but the online sucked. And it still sucks today on the Switch. Wii U wasn't much better. But all those things are why the Xbox is kind of the definitive first modern system.
Yeah, Xbox 360 makes my list as well. And it just like you, I didn't own Xbox, but to me, it's kind of a landmark of modern gaming. And it's a mix of the stuff that you brought up, but also really important, it is the first high definition console.
Oh yeah, that too. That's also huge.
Yeah. And so it really, with the way that it works, it really changed gaming in a huge way, because now you don't have games that aren't high definition. It really kicked off this era of realistic games and kind of the graphic wars, the consoles trying to get better and better graphics. One thing that you can say about the Xbox series is, unlike Sony, they don't have a lot of mishaps with the way they launch their boxes. Or maybe just not as much. I don't remember the Xbox 360 having any real hiccups with its launch.
Oh, you mean like the availability of it?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, because they definitely had a pretty big mishap with their launch systems, which I was going to bring up. And that's the Red Ring of Death, which is
right.
What kind of sullies the legacy of the Xbox 360. And really, PS3 sold more. Not just a little bit, but they still did. But it's not enough to take away what it did so well. You know,
yeah, I mean,
it was playing catch up for years.
The controller design of Xbox has always been the best controller, just for like ergonomics and playing. But the high definition, I can remember the first time playing an Xbox 360, and as a PlayStation fan, going into it, not just skeptical, but like wanting to downplay how good it was, and then actually being blown away by, oh my God, these graphics are unreal. Like, and it, that mixed with the way that Xbox has been able to compete with PlayStation without having the amount of independent games and game designers putting out as much good content as PlayStation, it has been an impressive run of Xbox. That being said, I was just in line for either the PlayStation 5 or the Xbox, but I was only there for the PlayStation 5, and they ran out of PlayStation 5s probably 200 people before they ran out of Xboxes. And they offered me an Xbox when I was there for PS5, and I said, nope.
Well, you guys haven't even mentioned the most important part of the 360 for nostalgia reasons for us, Halo 4. I mean, and that's why it's on my list. Like, the exclusive game, you know, Call of Duty was one of those games where, you know, you play, and I know PlayStation has its exclusive games, but Halo 4 wraps up what our senior year of college. And I have a great story. So when we had systems growing up, always, when I got to college, I took a break, kind of stopped playing video games for the most part. I still had a Wii, and we'd play Mario Kart on, but so I didn't really play video games in this. I'd never played a shooter game. And, you know, Cody and Cam and Matt Bangscat was playing Halo, and I was like, well, I mean, let me just jump on this and see what happens. And, you know, it was all senior year, like, and I don't get to play as much as they do because I'm student teaching, and I had gotten married that senior year, and I was slowly getting better. And we graduate, and as my graduation gifts, I buy an Xbox 360, and I get so good at Halo 4, and you know, everybody's gone, and I'm playing by myself. I was so salty, but
we had a really great team. I mean, we would smoke people in Halo, but like for months, it was just LeBron would kind of run around with us, and he'd get like maybe a couple kills and stuff, and he'd get so hyped when he'd get more kills than deaths, but we were still like slaughtering people. And then after we all stopped playing, LeBron got better than all of us.
We never
put it together. All of our primes. That's like a great NBA what if.
Right. So yeah, I mean, the Xbox 360 made my list as well for that reason. I just thought the games on that, well, actually, to be honest, it was mostly Halo 4, because that's pretty much all that I played on it.
I've always been Halo over Call of Duty anyway, so that's the big calling card. I mean, Xbox 360 launched a lot of good titles like Gears of War and stuff that were big, but yeah, I mean,
it's 360 come out, what year? Because I'm trying
2005.
Okay, well, so I was playing on a 360. I played a lot of Madden on 360, which that's not game exclusive, because I played it on both the PS2 and then I had the 360, like in the newer generation. So
but the controller makes a difference. Like playing Madden on 360 versus Madden on PlayStation is a different experience.
Yeah,
it depends on the type of game. It's a weird thing. Like shooters are really good on the 360, but like fighting games are better on PlayStation because of the D-pad.
Yeah, but I mean, it's funny. This is as neutral as we're going to get, because I certainly know Cam is heavy into PlayStation. He got me more into PlayStation. Now, I had a PlayStation growing up, but it was one of those things that I wasn't really deep into knowing the difference between the two. But I know Cam has been a lifetimer at PlayStation.
Oh, yeah, I've had everyone but the 5. I'll wait till we get a little cheaper, but I'm a PlayStation and Nintendo guy. I've always had the Nintendo handhelds, which leads to my second pick, the Nintendo Switch.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Which is a so flawed console. It is one of the few, it's the only console since the GameCube that doesn't also function. It's like a multimedia device that you can use to do like whatever, DVDs, Blu-ray, all that. It can only function really as a gaming device, but the idea of syncing together the home console with the handheld console, Nintendo's two greatest strengths pushed together, is perfect. And they were trying all this bull for years. The Wii was bull. Came out in 2006.
The Wii U was worse. Gosh.
Wii U was worse. It was just having to pay for that big old controller and making it so difficult to play multiplayer with people. The Switch was a perfect concept. You can take it up with you on the go. You can plug it right into the TV. And again, there are hiccups with it. So many of them. The online still sucks. Doesn't even have Netflix. The store is kind of frustrating. But if you just want to play games, play the old school games that you used to play and a lot of the new school games as well, even if they're a little worse graphically, you can't do worse than a Switch. Or better.
I'm curious if the Switch ends up on the ROM, because we all love the Switch, but I didn't have it on my list.
Yeah, the Switch definitely made my list, and it made my list as an adult, you know, someone who didn't play video games that much as an adult. But, and part of it, like, it was always going to make my list because of some of the, I think some of their greatest games to this date has been Nintendo's games has been on the Switch. You know, like the Mario Odyssey game was great. Mario Kart on the Switch is great. No. Freaking Breath of the Wild, you know, one of the best games I've ever played. Great. So, and on top of that, you know, emotionally, it came at a time where, you know, COVID hit, and thank God I had a Nintendo Switch, bro. Cause like games like Animal Crossing and, you know, stuff like that carried people through. Like I'd be interested to look at the sales, because I know, like, we bought, like, right when COVID hit, my wife actually bought a Switch Lite. I'm curious, like, what the sales were around COVID, like, how much they skyrocketed.
Well, so I definitely remember reading this when I was doing my research. Switch sales didn't do great when it started, but the Switch since then has been one of the fastest growing ones of all time. There was a lot of improvements done to the Switch in the games of the Switch, but I think you're onto something that we got a Switch during COVID too. And it's just one of those things that I do think that was like the console that dropped at the time and improved at the time. And that drove those sales up. So that's an interesting point.
So among just regular non-handheld only consoles, it is 5th. And it's been out by far the least amount among all those since 2017, 4 years, and has already sold 89.
That's crazy.
0.04 million, which is more than the PS3, the 360, the Game Boy Advance family, the PSP, the NES, the Xbox One, the SNES, and the 64. So yeah, it's sold a crazy amount already. And with Nintendo's brilliance, you know, the Switch Lite is essentially like the handheld only version. I see it maybe overtaking PlayStation 2.
Yeah, I mean the Switch has been great. We play it all the time. It's actually my only console right now as I wait for the PS5, but one thing that you guys didn't touch on is the processing power of the Switch is something that Nintendo never really had before. Nintendo had a lot of different consoles, but they never tried to compete with pure processing power of the PlayStations and the Xbox. And that's why their games were formatted in really structured ways. And the Switch kind of kicked the doors off of that, especially talking about Legend of Zelda, having a purely open world game with a huge, huge map and a lot of story and a lot of different like natural effects. And that processing power from something that can go mobile was, to me, the most impressive thing of the Switch. That being said, I left the Switch off my list for another more important Nintendo, and that's the Wii.
Well, okay, real quick, the last thing I'll say about the Switch before you talk about the Wii is if this console would have existed when I was, like, I can't even imagine what gameplay would have, my experience would have been like as a kid, because there were so many times like I wanted, like I was at home and would have loved to hook up like, you know, the Game Boy or something like that on the TV. And then just to be able to like, I have a bunch of siblings and, you know, y'all are getting on my nerves. I'm picking it up from the living room and I'm going into my room. Like just the ability to be able to do that, I think is pretty brilliant. I'm sure it'll go down as the best hybrid system of all time. Cause I see on this list above it, I see either straight up handhelds or like home systems. I can't imagine them making a better hybrid system, but go ahead.
I mean, I can, but maybe with
more processing power. So you can do more things. Right. But yeah,
it's like I don't know how to do it, but certainly there's improvements to the Switch. The Switch has been great because they've made improvements to the Switch as it's been out really, really quickly, and really huge improvements. You know, a lot of indie games on the Switch too, which is another thing that Nintendo doesn't really have a history of, you know, for the better and for the worse. Nintendo, when they first really came out with the NES, actually I'll save that fact for later.
Yeah, go ahead and talk to us about the Wii.
The Wii is the non-gamer's game. And this is the reason why it makes my list, is for the filthy casual, the Wii is the only system they've ever played in their entire life. When you talk about things like the System Wars, there is nothing that compares to what non-gamers feel like when they play a Wii for the first time. They won't play anything else. If you take a person that hates video games and give them a Wii controller, they will play that video game. If you take a person that hates video games and gives them an Xbox controller, a PlayStation, a Switch, a Game Boy, they won't play it for even a minute. And to me, the way that the Wii was able to tap into an audience that no other game console taps into is the reason why I have it on my list. Because of its unique motion-sensitive design, it helped to not just get gaming to people that never played gaming and never were interested before, but also helped clear the way to these ideas of VR headsets and kind of the future of gaming in virtual reality, with your motions actually affecting the screen immediately in your house. The Wii has a lot of flaws, and it certainly is not the most impressive system to gamers and to people who like video games, but Wii Sports is the highest selling video game of all time.
I don't think it is. I think it's Minecraft.
Oh. Yeah, I always forget about Minecraft.
And then Grand Theft Auto 5 after that. Sorry.
That's okay. But still, Wii Sports is, again, that game that people, my mother, for example, my father, for example, my sister, these are all people that have never and would never play a video game. They don't care about it. They don't think it's interesting. They don't want to hold a controller. They don't want to push the buttons. They're no good at it. We play Wii every time we get together. We play Wii Bowling. We do Wii like Dance Dance Revolution. All of these Wii Sports was at the time a really unique way of playing sports that opened the door to, or not sports, a really unique way of playing video games that opened the door to the rest of the world getting to enjoy video games. Even people who disagreed with video games love the Wii. My grandma plays the Wii. Everybody gets together and plays it. And so it's, to me, the ultimate family gaming, because it's just silly, light fun. And it really kicked down the doors of video gaming that in a way that I didn't really think was possible. So that's why the Wii is making my list.
You know, I thought you're onto a lot of really great points when you're talking about greatness. And I don't know if there's any system that that sets itself apart in a way that it uniquely brought in new customers. I mean, because at the end of the day, these gaming console, I mean, it's a business. They're selling something, and their ability with the Wii to bring in new customers, I think, like, I don't know if we've seen that with any of the other consoles, other than like maybe like the new version, like when Xbox came on the scene, or like when some of these, when they first came on. But, and not only that, so not only people who don't normally play it, but I wonder how many parents who would have never considered buying their kids a video game system was like, you know what, I'll buy them a Wii because they can get active doing it. Like, I'm sure there was a lot of those too. So I really like that point.
It is a good point, and it's a good argument. The Wii was never going to make my list, because I think you're right about it becoming like the game system that was most accessible for people. But even among that, like, I expected it would be like the most sold, and it didn't become that. Wii Sports is really, really influential, but I feel like there are more influential games than it. And I don't know, I just feel like Nintendo kind of half-butted it to some extent. Like, the motion sensors, to me, were just so inaccurate right out the box until a couple years in, they came out with that thing that made it more sensitive. And I just don't have the experience with it that you seem to with, like, your family. I never had that experience. I was on my hardcore-ish when the Wii came out. And so I know that that is the experience a lot of people had, but it didn't move me much at all. And so I didn't really consider it, especially when it came out the same time as the 360, which I thought the things the 360 did, I thought were a little more revolutionary for that time. Not revolutionary, but they've become more standard than what the Wii did. And gaming has not evolved in the way of the Wii. It's actually evolved more in the way of becoming something where people are playing the way that they play, like the 360, you know, Fortnite and PUBG and Minecraft are the big games, not so much. And it's like hundreds and hundreds of millions of people playing them and watching them. So I definitely think there's a great argument for the Wii to be included, but it did not make my list at all.
Even for the person who I wasn't in love with the motion sensor, it had like little subtleties to it. So like when we would play Mario Kart, everything was like standard about the buttons, but then when you go in the air, you know, you motion it up to do like a little wheelie and get a little burst. Like, just some of those subtleties I thought were great. So I mean, Cam, you make some good points too, but I didn't imagine putting the Wii on my list, but Cody, you've made me rethink, like, man, that because it has some nostalgia too from college, and you made some really good arguments for why.
And I certainly haven't played a huge catalog of games on the Wii. Literally, of the consoles that I've played, the Wii by far I've played the least amount of games. But in three games, I certainly have more time playing the Wii than I do playing Xbox. And we played a lot of Xbox in college. You know, we were doing it every single night. But when I think about, I played Mario Kart on the Wii. We always did the Michael Jackson dancing game with my family on the Wii. And then the Wii Sports. It just was a family gathering event for a long time. And everybody would play it. And it's what's fascinating to me is, again, I wouldn't, if I gave my mom money to play a PlayStation for an hour, she wouldn't do it. She'd never make it an hour. If I gave my mom money to make it 5 minutes, she might do that, but it would be an absolute slog and she would have no fun at all. And that's just the way that I thought video games were, that some people got it and some people didn't. And the Wii literally opened the door to, she's the one that's always saying, let's play Michael Jackson dance off on the Wii. And so I find that fascinating. I also think, I don't think you're giving enough credit to the Wii controllers, Cam, and that minimalist design with a couple buttons and motion sensing. These are the controllers that are now going along with VR headsets, and the PlayStation ones look exactly like what the Wii's did in their setup. And so I think, kind of in groundbreaking type stuff, it's different in a different way, And I don't think that VR will ever overtake video games the way that we play them, but it certainly did a lot of different things than we were used to. But so that's why I had to put it over the Switch, even though I love the Switch and I do like the Switch better than the Wii. I do think the Wii impacted a group of people that would have never been impacted by anything that the Switch gave. So that's why I put it in instead of it. I think that's my second pick. I don't know where everybody, I think everybody's on two picks.
Yeah. I'm probably only going to have one pick that you guys don't have.
Well, why don't you go with your pick, Laron?
Okay, so actually, I want to save it for the last one. So I'll start off this. I'll start off this. I know you guys have the PS2 on your list, and it's on mine too. I mean, and for obvious, like it's a great system. You know, the bulk of like my video game prowess. So like when I played video games the most was when the PS2 came out. I remember specifically playing Spyro on the regular PlayStation, and then I just think the upgrade in the system from the PlayStation to the PS2, like really, really game changing. Golly, I've logged so many hours playing Madden on PS2 and NFL Streets, and you know, when I was in, I mostly played sports games back when, you know, when I was in high school and in middle school, and they were all mostly played on the PS2 until I transitioned to the Xbox 360 when I was a little older. But man, it just has some really, really great games, a lot of good memories with the PS2. And that sound is iconic. Is it the PS2 sound that's on Channel Orange, Frank Ocean album?
Yeah.
Yeah, like golly, it's just such a great system.
Yeah, so mine as well. Best selling system of all time with I think 154 million sold, just a few more than the DS family. And it, Laron mentioned the sports games that he played. My biggest argument is that no matter what type of games you enjoyed playing as a gamer, you were going to find them on the PS2. Action, adventure, RPG, sports,
the music, PS2,
just music, Guitar Hero, GTA. PS2 had everything. It has one of the best game libraries of all time, if not the greatest. And you know, it sold like hotcakes. It was accessible to people. And for example, it sold more than the Wii and the Nintendo 64 combined, man, which is crazy. So that was one of the definite ones. Like I didn't have to think about it with the PS2 on my list. I would argue it's probably the greatest of them because it's the one that you don't have to think about in your top two. Like I think most lists are going to have either the NES or the SNES as one. And then the PS2 as two, or the PS2 as one and one of those as two. They both are great, and you might think one is greater than a PS2, but the PS2 always makes that top two, which means it might actually be the top one. PS2 it is for me.
Yeah, it's on my list too. PS2, honestly, we should have talked about GOAT above because it was a little bit insulting to me that the lists didn't include PS2 as the number one. Like that you can interchange your number one list by list, but have PS2 always number two. That's the point Cam's making, but I just wanted to reiterate that means PS2 is number one. That's just what that means. It's also groundbreaking. It's the first one that we got to play movies on. You got to use DVDs, Blu-ray in PS2. And so I logged a lot of hours in my room watching movies on that. For the first time ever.
You know what kind of movies you're watching alone in your room, bro?
Documentaries.
Documenting what?
National Geographic documentaries. But yeah, the PlayStation 2 was... It's so, so tied to... You know, maybe that's it. Maybe like NES people and... Those people that first came along gaming, the 64 people, it's so tied to their childhood that they hold it up. But the PS2 is the first like real console I had. Before that, I had a Game Boy Color, and I got to play video games when I went over to people's houses. I never owned one. And I can remember getting it on Christmas And I remember getting it alongside a video game that I had no idea what it was. I had never heard of it. I had never seen it before. My mom didn't know what it was. She just bought this video game that she thought was cool. And that video game turned out to be Kingdom Hearts, my first video game I ever played and owned. And it's still to this day one of my favorite games of all time. We talked about on the greatest games of all time list. And that's kind of the memories that PlayStation 2 has, that you played your favorite games that you have ever played on that games console. And so pretty good argument for GOAT above. We didn't talk about it before, so we're not going to do GOAT above at the last second like this. But yeah, what LaRon touched on, the upgrade from PlayStation to PlayStation 2 was like going into the future. It was so different. I could never play sports games on a PlayStation ever. And when PlayStation 2 came out and I was playing NBA Live and Madden, it was like actually playing sports for the first time in a video game. It wasn't just like going left and right and like moving a little dot across a field. You were dunking the basketball. You were going on hot routes. You were making catches and making throws and making reads. And it became what sports feels like in real life. And all of that is just to say that PS2 was obviously going to be on my list. And I think it was obviously going to be on your guys' list as well.
Did the PS2, was that that controller, did that introduce the analog system?
No. So the PlayStation 1 controller didn't have analogs originally, but the DualShock 1 came out like halfway through its life cycle.
Gotcha.
Also, Nintendo had analogs, but they were kind of booty. Like PlayStation,
well, they had one. PlayStation had the dual ones, and it was better quality, like you're saying.
Well, so did the GameCube come out before or after? Because the GameCube had two, but they were booty.
Yeah, so, one was like way above the.
Yeah.
You could hardly use it.
So the PlayStation 2 and the GameCube came out about the same time. The PlayStation 1 had the DualShock before either of them came out.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, PlayStation 2 is an obvious. Do you want to go with your next pick or?
My final one is the Super Nintendo, which.
Nice.
I could have picked like the Nintendo Entertainment System. To be honest, it is the more important system. It brought the arcade to home, arcade level and quality games. But to me, the Super Nintendo just has so many great games. I think they're better, like they're objectively better games than the ones on the NES. Like A Link to the Past is so much better than The Legend of Zelda. Super Mario World is so much better than Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3. Everything that was just possible on the Super Nintendo was better. 16-bit was a lot better than 8-bit gaming. And, I mean, really, maybe it should be NES for how big of a, how important it was. But it's just so many classic games are on the Super Nintendo that I don't feel bad picking it. It's like the same type of jump that you saw on the PlayStation 2. Mm-hmm. Like the color was so much richer. Everything looked better. And it just looked more like a living cartoon than it ever became. Like, when you think about little 8-bit video games, you think about stuff that you would see on the Game Boy or on the Nintendo Entertainment System. When you think of, like, the stylized Steven Universe-type cartoons, that's Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
That's when you're getting into a real artistic vision where developers can make things that look and play the way that they really have in their mind. That's the first instance of that, so... That's my last pick.
That Super Mario World, that is literally the only game I've ever played on the Super Nintendo. And it almost made my list just for that. Like that was my childhood. Like seriously, I remember going to my dad's house. He had a Super Nintendo and we played that game all night. I can't tell you how many times I beat that game through and through, just restarting it.
Also getting back to controllers, the basic controller design, the first big thing was, like today, even the Wii controller you were talking about, those are all based on the Super Nintendo controller. The only big addition that has happened since then is the DualShocks. The 64 had the original horrible joystick in the center of it. which mimics an arcade, but it wasn't really, to me, an improvement on the Super Nintendo controller until the PlayStation DualShock 1. So that's its biggest, I'd say, oh, if you have to make an argument over the Nintendo Entertainment System, it's the joystick.
Well, because the joystick is, it doesn't really mean much if it's not, even with those joysticks, it was still only like, you know, up, down, side to side. It wasn't the full range of moving.
Well, this is the, I'm showing Laurent, this is the NES controller, and this is the SNES.
Yeah, that's my child.
It's the four buttons that makes the difference. Yep. You know, just it adds more depth to what you can do with the game. You can only jump and hit with a two-button combination.
The having to hold, the figuring out, like, and my wife still, like, when she would play games, I would get, it's like, no, you've got to hold down Y and run, and then you've got to hit it. You've got to hit the jump button, like, with your other, like, people, that's not, like, super intuitive, I think, and that's like a your first kind of transition into gamers. Like, you've got to be able to hit multiple buttons at one time to be able to play video games effectively.
For sure.
I agree with everything that Cam said, but I went the other direction and I picked the NES for my pick, kind of also what Cam said, because I don't think that there's any more important gaming system than the Nintendo Entertainment System. And it's kind of on multiple fronts. So the obvious thing is bringing the arcade games into your house is the big thing that it did. Is that, you know, you had the big heavy arcade games that everybody played, but you would go to arcades to play. And to develop the cartridge system and the attachable controller to and being able to hook it up to a TV was huge. But I had touched on this before. One of the super important things about the NES was how Nintendo trademarked it. And it is, I brought it up for the Switch because Nintendo, for the first time since the NES, went the opposite way and let a lot of indie game designers design games on the Switch and basically opened it to the world. But at that time, there were different consoles that you could play video games at home, but the video game market crashed because so many bad games were being made. They literally, people were getting ripped off for their money because games were being made that were unplayable. And at the time, people thought that this was the end of video games. And what Nintendo did was put a really, really big, heavy trademark, not allowing people to make anything that they want. Everything needed to be made to Nintendo standards. And it standardized video game quality that we're still having debates about now in days with the likes of 2K and FIFA putting out bad quality games and people being upset by it. Nintendo got rid of that for years, and it's one of the greatest successes that Nintendo made was this idea of not allowing everybody to make poor quality video games and holding a certain standard. And that comes from NES. And my argument is kind of all quality video games are due to this moment where, tied to the NES, Nintendo made it an actual legally binding thing that you had to make good video games. And so you see the upage in quality to the Super Nintendo because of this fact that that was the quality that Nintendo was having at the time. So the importance of just a reasonable sized video game console that at the time had really, really high processing power, that's a really important thing. But also, I think the legal stuff that went on with this console is extremely important to video games and the history of video game entertainment.
So to me, I see it like Star Wars. Like, of course, the NES is the more important one. Just like Star Wars is the more important, the original Star Wars is the most important movie, but I'm still picking Empire Strikes Back, the sequel that did everything better every time. And that's my take. I can't take anything away that you said, but the sequel was literally, it's like the Empire Strikes Back of video game consoles. That's what
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I totally agree. But to me, I think there's a little more importance with the NES than comparing it to Star Wars, only because unlicensed games, they were literally going to crash video games for the rest of time. Like, if they almost had, like, there was no money to be made in video games until Nintendo made this decision to have licensed games and to have it really, really restricted to build video game quality. And so that's kind of my point. But I agree that if I chose one to play, it will always be the Super Nintendo, right?
Well, but, you know, I think that's important, though, because it's about all, like, if I'm for my greatness, gaming is importance matters, but like the Atari is similarly important, and you can look at it certain ways, but it doesn't approach our list because none of the games hold up. And the SNES is probably, next to the PS2, the most adored console of all time.
Yeah.
Those are the two most beloved consoles. And I think that's pretty important, is how much nostalgia
is
really, like, nostalgia for gaming is not like a bad thing.
It is important. I agree with you, but that's kind of why I was bringing up the legal stuff that goes along with that. That is really a huge benchmark in video game history. And a lot of credit is given to the NES and Atari for actually physically being made. But I think the decisions that went along with the NES, to me, build the importance up to where I had to include it on my list.
I didn't know all the history about, you know, that system and what you brought up, Cody. So I think that's really interesting. When we talk about greatness on this podcast, there's always comment like different people. There is no completely like, here is what greatness means and here's how it looks and here's what it is. Like, it's always subjective to an extent. And I thought that you made a really, really strong case for why it would still be gameplay, you're picking the Super Nintendo, but why the original NES is the more important, the greater one, because of what it did. So I like it a lot. I'm glad that you brought that perspective.
I think you're a Sega man.
You think that's going to be my last pick?
I do.
It's close, but you looked down at my phone and you saw that it's not it. So for my last pick, the Sega is, it's got the, you know, Sonic and the Lion King, or, and I think, shoot, what was it? It was a Madden football game from, I don't even know when, but the Game Boy Advance SP, I cannot believe that is not on any list for kind of being,
I knew you were going to do a handheld. I 100% knew that you were going to do a handheld.
Because of the light of it?
Yeah, like, I wanted to pick the Super Nintendo because of the nostalgia, but nothing was as groundbreaking as freaking getting the Game Boy Advance SP and being able to play at night. Like, I can't even remember how many times I'm like, got my, either my Game Boy Color or my Game Boy Advance, and I'm playing in a car trip on the way home and it gets dark and it's like, okay, that's a wrap. And like, miss me with that little light that you can put on it and shine down on the screen, because that was doing nothing. When I was looking up the research, I did discover that the Game Boy Light actually, it wasn't the first. The Game Boy Light had some type of like electro something, but it was front lit or something. But I was like, I don't ever remember that, but it was a Japan only console. So the Game Boy Advance SP, for us folks here in America, that was the first console that allowed you to be able to like, oh, mom said go to bed, but I'm like, got the cover over my head playing my Game Boy Advance SP over here. And, you know, it tied to some of the, I think maybe one of the best Pokemon games, and, you know, Sapphire. I played that game so much.
You mean Ruby?
Or no, Sapphire. but yeah, I can't even believe it didn't even get mentions for being that groundbreaking of having something that, it doesn't matter, you can play it whenever you want, day, night, light, no light. I can't believe it didn't give it a mention, so I have to give it some love.
Oh yeah, I love this pick. I thought you were gonna pick the 3DS is what I thought you were going to pick, but I'm huge Game Boy fan. I really actually ended up hating like the 3DS in all those handhelds, because I was so hardcore. Where my love of handheld gaming ends, and I guess I don't count Switch as a handheld, because I actually rarely play it on the go. I always play it as a regular console. But my love for handhelds stopped immediately after the Game Boy SP. Everything added past that, to me, is too much. That I really thought about putting this one on my list too, and for the same exact reasons that you were, is holding a flashlight in your mouth while you played the Game Boy, or trying to have it tucked under your shoulder, and your covers would move the wrong way and you can't see anything.
And was it one of the first ones, like, did it have batteries, or did it have a, I'm pretty sure the SP.
It was a charger, charger
kit. And that was the first one with that, right?
Yeah, because, like, what if you were, like, you're a kid, you ain't got money like that. You're at the house. You can't run out and grab batteries. Like,
no, yeah, you had to. I remember being a kid with a Game Boy, and when the batteries were gone and there were none, having to go to Walmart, like, scrounge for quarters.
I get in trouble because I'd just be stealing them out of the remotes.
Right.
And Dad'd be like, why does the remote not work? I don't know. Yeah.
Taking them out, trying to get more juice on them, like rolling them, like friction.
Licking the batteries and sticking them together. Yeah. I mean, I love this pick. I didn't get the Game Boy Advance. So I went straight from the color to the SP. So the bumpers on it blew my mind. Mm. Like I didn't get the bumpers, the in-between of the two. I just went straight to it. So I know that the Game Boy Advance had the bumpers already, but that when the bumpers were added to the SP, I was like, this is like exactly like a PlayStation. You know, this is like carrying a PlayStation around playing it. So yeah, I love this pick. This was going to be my tops of honorable mention. So I thought that you were going to pick the 3DS.
I hadn't thought about the pick at all, but it's a terrific, like, you make really terrific points about the struggles of playing handheld games back in the day. And you hadn't even mentioned the charging thing, but the charging and the backlight are huge.
Yeah.
And handheld gaming is, you know, why I picked the Switch, is kind of ignored historically in a lot of ways, but there are a lot of great handheld games. How good the games looked on the Game Boy Advance, you know, they started porting SNES games to it. Like,
yeah,
I first played Chrono Trigger on a Super Nintendo or on a Game Boy Advance. But yeah, great, great choice, man. It's going on my honorable mention now too.
Yeah, the only games that I ever really played on it, like I played several different games on it, but the most, I mean, the Pokemon games and Mario, you know, on it was clutch. That's all I needed.
It's also funny because nowadays the flipping of that game is like really lame and it is cumbersome. Like, you broke the game all the time by flipping it. But I just remember back in the day, that's like when flip phones were around, right?
Hey,
or starting to come out, and you would be like, It was just the coolest thing to have anything that flipped open. People open their wallets like that. So it's, I love this pick. I really thought about this pick. And I, you know, I feel a little bit bad not including it now that we've talked it up, because this one is like one of those, this one and the PS2. And I guess Game Boy Color, those are my like three biggest staples of video gaming in my life, like opening the door to video games.
Yeah. And Kirby wasn't a bad game either. I played Kirby on the SP.
There was a Godzilla fighting game on it. Man, I play that mug so much.
It was a pretty good Ben 10 game on it.
There was the only Yu-Gi-Oh game I ever played.
I was
going
to say that Yu-Gi-Oh card game was on the SP.
But Cody, you sleeping on a DS. DS was a dope system. I think
it introduced
the interactivity of the Wii before the Wii did. You know?
The DS was a better, like, but the SP was the groundbreaking one for me. Yeah. Like, the DS, I even liked it better than the 3DS. I hated the 3D feature. I never used it. I always turned it off.
Me too.
Kind of the same, like, similar to what you said about the NES, Cody. Like, to me, like, you got to give it props for being that, like, fixing all of our issues with the charger, with the light, with.
Yeah, I mean, touchscreen stuff. I didn't really like the touchscreen addition to the DS, and that's where Pokemon started really, really doing, like, trying to get cute with the new stuff that they added and the gimmicks, and to me, I stopped playing handhelds after the Nintendo Advance.
You missed out, bro. The DS Pokemon games, Heart Gold, Soul Silver, maybe the best games they've ever made. And that's it for our list, folks. I will go ahead and summarize mine. I picked the SNES, the PlayStation 2, the Xbox 360, and the Nintendo Switch. My honorable mentions are the Nintendo Advance SP, the Nintendo Entertainment System, the original PlayStation, and the Dreamcast.
My picks were the Game Boy Advance SP, the PS2, the Xbox 360, and the Nintendo Switch, which mine were really divided. My handhelds were where, and my Nintendo games were where I played Mario and Pokemon, and the PS2 and Xbox is where I played my sports games. So my honorable mentions, I'll give shout out to the Super Nintendo and the original Xbox. I remember that just being so cool, but we've talked about a lot of the other ones that, you know, I would give love to. So Cody, why don't you wrap us up?
Yeah, for my picks, I picked the PlayStation 2, I picked the NES, I picked the Wii, and I picked the Xbox 360. And we've talked about a lot of my honorable mentions, some of the ones that we haven't mentioned, Sega Genesis. And I was a huge lover of the GameCube. I know GameCube gets a lot of hate, but I loved the GameCube growing up.
I loved it too, but it just... next to the PlayStation and Xbox, it didn't have any of those media features. So it was like the least, like, you needed the GameCube the least. But it had Wind Waker on it, so I had to have it. Wind Waker and Resident Evil 4.
Metroid Prime and yep. Smash Brothers on GameCube. That's Melee. Like, yeah.
Double Dash. Yeah.
Harvest and Moon.
Then, and then Game Boy Color. I think... that was my first ever video game I ever played, was Pokemon Red on Game Boy Color, while we drove from California to Atlanta, Georgia, moving as I was a kid. And I just played it the whole time, beat it on the trip.
Must have had that 24-pack of AA battery.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We always love doing these nostalgic lists. We hope that you, Bills, Phils, Nannies, and Does out there, like walking down memory lane with us. A timely list, because I've been fighting hard to get a PS5 and I'm getting closer every day. So hopefully within the next year, this list changes because I buy a PS5 and it blows me away. But until then, reach out to us on Facebook, on Instagram, on our website. We love hearing from you guys. We want to hear what you guys want us to do next. And until next time,
oh, you jerk. Be easy. We'll see you next time.
Stay great. One up.